Hi, this is Tim Keel. Welcome to the Jacobswell Podcast. For this week's sermon, or any of the sermons in our archive, subscribe for free in iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Jacobswell is a church that relies on the support of its community. We consider you a part of that community, and we'd love for you to participate with us in our financial life. You can do that on our website and in the Jacobswell mobile app. Whether you're new to this space or a regular podritioner, we're glad you're here.
Good evening. Have you ever lived through a season of life where you have kind of pushed all the way so that there aren't many margins left in life? Anybody lived through a season like that? Where you've just packed life so full that there's not a lot left at the edges? Not much space, yeah? You've experienced this before? Or maybe it's looked something like this for you. Some of us are in caregiving, maybe professions or parents, right? Teachers in here. I know we've got a few teachers, yeah? And you spend your days, right, pouring out and pouring out and pouring out to other people so that at the end or even in the middle of it, maybe we don't realize just how parched our tired little souls are in the midst of all of that pouring out. Anybody live through that? Yeah? I'm getting slightly better, just a little bit better now, starting to recognize when I'm headed into one of those spaces where there hasn't been enough margin or space. But I can think back on many times in my life when I have run the boat all the way to into the shore of life without recognizing it. And this past week when I was reflecting on this, I was thinking of one time in particular when we had our two little boys, a four-year-old and a two-year-old at the time, and I was pregnant with our third kiddo. And at the time, I was also a chaplain at St. Luke's Hospital on the plaza. And I loved being with our little boys at that season. And it was also incredibly hard because they were at that stage, that toddler stage. I don't know if any of you have ever known a toddler. But like any little thing could like set them off, right? Like if a granola bar breaks in half by accident and all of a sudden it seems like the world has erupted, this is what you have to look forward to, okay? That everything is falling to pieces. And also at the time I was pregnant, which and early on in pregnancy, which meant that all I wanted to do was lie down at any place at any given time and sleep, but that wasn't really an option, right? And then I would leave and feel really guilty about leaving then to go to work, but I would get to work and I adored my job. I loved my job there. I loved sitting with patients and listening to their stories, listening to people's frustration with illness and feeling disoriented and confused and wondering where God was in the middle of it. I loved sitting with families. I loved the chaos of the ER. Those ER nurses are some of the most rock star human beings on the face of the planet. I loved it. And it was exhausting. And I remember especially after overnight on calls in the hospital, getting to the end of those overnight on calls and being a total emotional and physical hot mess by the end because I just had nothing left. And then trying to re-enter into our family's life. And it was just too much. But the thing is, I didn't realize it. And I remember that year going on my annual trip, which I do once a year with my closest college girlfriends. And I remember walking in, it's the one time a year that I get to be with all them because we're all over the country. And it's these women who have seen me through every single season of life and they just know me and get me, which is a huge gift, right? And I walk in, I remember setting down my bags and just starting to cry immediately, and I'm not much of a crier, but realizing something is going on here, and I don't know what. And it wasn't, and they did what we always do for one another, and they held me for a while, and we spent the weekend processing not just my stuff, but other people's stuff as well, and laughing and eating good food and being restored a little bit. And I realized at the end of that weekend that the direction that I was headed in life at that point was completely unsustainable. But the thing is, I didn't realize it until I had gotten a chance to step back and step away and see the big picture. Has that ever happened to you? Like you can't tell, you kind of maybe know in your gut that something's not quite right and that you have too much going on, but you don't know it until you step back and step away. And so today, tonight, we're going to be talking more about this series, this sermon series that we're in, right? Tikkun Olam. We put the image up here. It's a Jewish phrase, right, which means to mend or to heal the world. And by the way, Eric Disney, who is a person in our community, created this graphic, and I just think it's astounding. And then we had Janelle Mastin, who created this altarpiece, and Sika Smalley, who created the chalkboard in the back. It's amazing. It's like if I could have like one drop of their creativity, that would just be so awesome. But anyway, we are in this season of this series talking about Tikkun Olam, to heal the world and mend the world. And Tim has done a beautiful job the past 2 weeks of setting up the big stage, right? Because we can all agree, as he's been pointing to, that there are some broken things in this world, yes? We're all aware of this. The problem seems to be is that we can't agree on how to fix it, on what to do, on what the path forward is. And so we're asking this question during this series, is how can we together as a body of Christ ignite our imaginations to how we might mend this world in the way of Jesus? And so tonight we're going to be talking about rest. Because here's the thing, that God has created an order for all of creation, but for human beings in particular, that follows a rhythm of labor and of rest. And everything is ordered around that. And that is true for every single person in this building right now, right? We are ordered around this rhythm of work and rest. But not just us, also your neighbors at home, right? Or the person working in the fast food restaurant down the street, or the executive with papers piled high on his desk, or the mother, the Syrian mother who's sitting in a train station right now. All of us are ordered, our DNA, it is written into it to be working around a rhythm of labor and of rest, and not just people, but also all of creation, trees and plants and animals and ecosystems are all created to image God in this rhythm of labor and rest. And the reason why we start with this theme of rest is because that's where God starts. If you want to talk about mending the world, we have to start here because that's where God starts. And if we ignore it, both in our own lives and in creation and on behalf of other human beings, the results are absolutely devastating. Because this rhythm of work and then rest is written into our DNA. And maybe the first and most obvious sign of that is just our incredible need for the amount of sleep that we require, right? That's just this obvious physical sign. Have you ever thought about how weird sleep is? Has anybody ever had this thought before? I mean, it is weird. I'm going to let you in on a really weird little thing in my life, is that my husband Todd and I, when we go to sleep at night, occasionally one of us will make the sound of Obi-Wan Kenobi when he's shutting down the tractor beams. Do you know this sound that I'm talking about? Does anybody at this service know this sound? Okay, I'm not the only nerd in the room, okay? So the sound is, boom. Thank you, Riley. Many people at the night knew this, okay? So one of us will make that sound and say something like, I'm just going to go ahead and power down here. I'm just going to go ahead and lay here like completely still. Maybe I'll twitch just a little bit, but mostly I'm going to lay here for like 8 hours. And I'm probably not going to say anything. I may make some weird noises. If I do, just kind of give me a shove, roll me over to the side. But for the most part, I'm just going to unplug and just kind of lay here for hours. So I'll see you in about 7 hours. I mean, sleep is just so weird, it's so strange, but it's how we're made, it's how God created us. I think I've thrown this statistic out to you before that humans spend about a third of our lives asleep. If you live to be 80 years old, you will have spent 26 years of your life sleeping. It is so strange. But it's not just people. Everything is created around this rhythm, right? We have daylight hours. There's this natural rhythm to creation. There's nighttime and there's daylight. There's wake and there's sleep. Even the seasons of the calendar year follow this same rhythm of fruitfulness, but then also dormancy, because it is mirroring the Creator. Because here's why. In Genesis, the very opening chapters of Scripture, Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, will you read this out loud with me? By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So do you catch that? For 6 days in the creation story, God has been hard at work, creating, and then stepping back each day and naming it as good. And that pattern carries on for 6 days until the seventh day, when God stops. And notice the pattern here, that God finishes, that God rests, that God blesses the day, and then God names it as holy. Abraham Heschel, he is a Jewish scholar, and he says that the first holy thing in all of creation is not a people, and it's not a place, but it's a day. And as a part of God's creative work in the creation story, God also fashions human beings in a very unique way, as made in God's very image, and then immediately sets us with a task. And those tasks are to care for the earth and tend to it, to work the earth, to name God's created creatures, right? And to till it, to have dominion over it, which before that work was God's alone, and then it got handed to humanity. So you guys, when we are at work, it has the potential there to image God. There's something very good about that, that when we are creating and laboring, that we are imaging our Creator. But here's the thing. That is a virtue, but it also has a vice, right? Because when we are doing those things in our work, we are at our most God-like, which means that it can become incredibly distorted incredibly easily. When you think about it, most of our identity is very enmeshed into our vocations, right? Most of our worthiness is attached into what we do. Right? It's our easiest and most accessible barometer for whether we are succeeding or failing at life. And so it's this thing that's both good, but there's this flip side, which is we don't give hardly anything else in our lives that kind of power. And so work has the ability to be distorted really, really easily. And the thing is, I think God was quite aware of that. So that when God is creating some commandments for God's people, and he creates these 10 commandments, the one on Sabbath is commandment number 4, and it's the anchor commandment. It's the one that gets the most airtime and description. If you look at it in your Bible, you would see the other ones are just kind of these short little things. The one on the Sabbath, boom, like it is a thick description of what Sabbath is. Here it is in Exodus. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Why keep the Sabbath? Because Moses says that when we keep Sabbath, that we actually mirror our Creator, that we are doing the same thing that God does, of laboring and working, but then stopping. And in fact, you know what? That word Sabbath, it has virtually no spiritual meaning whatsoever. It simply means stop. Quit. Take a break. which is, you and I both know, is incredibly, incredibly difficult in our culture, yes? It's incredibly hard. Do you guys remember this time, like not so long ago, pre-cell phones and laptops, when you finished your work at work, that you were actually finished with your work? Do you remember this? That was a thing. That happened not so long ago. But that's not true anymore, is it? There is this growing cultural expectation that you are always at work now, especially with our phones, right? It's like carrying a little mini workstation with you at all times. You can be sending and receiving emails, working on files. The thing is that there is a growing expectation that you are always on and never off. But even if you don't work an office job, check out this definition of vocation. It is a person's main occupation, especially regarded as particularly worthy and requiring great dedication. So you know what that means? We all have a vocation. It is whatever thing that we are offering our time to. And in our culture, there is virtually nothing that I can think of that you would offer your time to that wouldn't say you are always on and never off. There is no break. And this isn't just the state of each one of us as individuals in our working situations. This is a well-oiled machine. I was talking with a friend here at Jacob's Well this last week. And she was telling me a little bit about her work situation right now. She works for a national chain, and her job is as an internal auditor, okay, for this chain. So her job is to go to different stores in this section of the country and do audits and trainings. And so this week, she was supposed to go to a training in one store and do this audit and training that was supposed to take 3 days. But into the second day of training, she was scheduled to be somewhere 4.5 hours away at a different store. And so she calls up her supervisor in order to say, hey, I'm really frustrated. You've put me in an impossible situation here. And he didn't have a really good answer for her. And he just ended the conversation with, well, just make sure you're watching your hours. She was like, watching my hours? What are you talking about? But there is this growing expectation, she said. She doesn't have a scheduled day off for 3 weeks. And she was saying how even when she used to have Sundays off, she would start having panic and anxiety on Sunday afternoons because her body was reacting against that rhythm of labor and no rest. Because you guys, we are not created that way. That does not image God, to be working and working and working and never at rest. God does not call that good. That is not how we are made. But in this world, the company explanation for that is, well, you're getting paid overtime, which is a legitimate explanation in our world, right? Because of our cultural saying, fill in the blank, time is what? Money. Time is money. And we wonder why the anchor command of the Ten Commandments is the Sabbath. Did you know that in Scripture, Moses doesn't just give the Ten Commandments one time? That one that we just read up there was in Exodus, right? And that's right before the Israelites take off to go into the wilderness and wander through the wilderness for 40 years. Well, Moses gives the Ten Commandments a second time, and that's in the book of Deuteronomy. And you guys, the book of Deuteronomy, if you sit down and read it, which sounds weird, but you could sit down and read it. It's actually one really long speech of Moses for the most part. It takes up almost the whole book. And it's his speech that he's giving right before he dies. And he's trying to tell the Israelites, before they enter into the promised land without him, he's trying to tell them all of the things that he wants them to remember about who they are and about who God is before they enter into the promised land. And so in the middle of Deuteronomy, he stops and he says, remember this? Remember the Ten Commandments? That's who you are. And he gives them the Ten Commandments, and it's virtually word for word the same, except when you get to the commandment on Sabbath. It's different. Here it is. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. on it you shall do not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, not your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. And that's the same as the other one, okay, as the Exodus passage. But read this out loud with me starting there. So that your male and female servants may rest as you do. And keep reading with me. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. It's different. He changes the reasoning and the explanation why. Now it's not just because it's a way of imaging God when we take a break. No, now it's a justice issue. Because he's saying, don't you dare forget that God rescued you. And so now as you're about to enter into this place, the very sincere temptation will be to enslave other people, right? And so here's the thing. I want you to rest so that when you rest, so does everybody else and so does everything else, especially those who are most vulnerable in society and who are the most likely to not be treated as bearing the image of God. It is a justice issue. And you guys, we don't have to look hard around us to realize that this is a very current reality for us now too, right? When you start looking around you at the woman who is being asked to work without a day off for 3 weeks, at those working multiple shifts at minimum wage jobs with no resources for rest, at the images of the refugees who are fleeing for their lives right now, and if you notice that virtually every other image is of exhausted families, right? There was this one interview with a Syrian woman on a train who was saying that she hadn't been able to lie down and sleep for 4 days. And in fact, the only way that she's been able to sleep at all is just by nodding off onto her shoulder. And she was saying, and the interviewer noted that even while he was sitting there talking with her, that she was falling asleep. This is not right. This is not good. You guys, for several weeks leading up to this sermon series, I feel like I've been watching the news and watching people around me and our world around us with a different set of eyes, knowing that we as a community, we're going to start talking about this together, about how to mend and heal the world. And I have felt both simultaneously overwhelmed and excited about this series. Overwhelmed because of the incredible amount of brokenness in this world. Anybody ever feel that way? That the images on your phone of things that are happening a half a world away, that faces are right there in front of you, and you can do a little bit, but not a whole lot. Or not just that, but that the brokenness that actually is right around you in relationships and with other people and just injustice that is taking place right before our very eyes, that can feel really overwhelming. And not just that, but I get overwhelmed by the power dynamics that are at play and the complexity of this conversation about talking about mending the world when I am very aware that I am a white person living in the United States of America in the middle class. And this is a complex and nuanced conversation that could be come out from all different angles. And that feels overwhelming to me. But at the same time, I am so excited. Because I am in a body of Christ with you all, with a group of people who have such genuine servants' hearts and who are so creative. And not just that, but I get excited because when I think of Jesus and who Jesus is all about mending the world and did not stay far off because things were complex or broken or hard, but incarnated God in the flesh right into the very midst of the pain and the brokenness and just stayed there. And with fear and trembling, that's where I want to be with you all too. But then I started thinking, so when it came to this topic of rest, I was excited and I was like, I don't want to talk about rest. I want to talk about doing something. But then the longer I sat with this subject of rest, you guys, this is the only place to start. Because I wonder if a proper view of God's rest is actually at the heart of the matter. This is God's intention, that the world would be set right according to the rhythms that God has created: work and rest, sleeping and waking, labor and rest, fruitfulness and dormancy for everyone. And I wonder if the degradation of time leads to the degradation of all sorts of other things, like creation and like the way we treat other human beings and the way that we treat our very own selves. And the catch of it all is that we are caught up in such an anxious and distracted busyness that we don't have a moment to look up and ask the question, what is going on here? Is this good? Is this right? And so here's our invitation tonight. Stick with me for just a little bit longer, okay? Hebrews chapter 4. Will you read this out loud with me? There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Do you catch that there? Make every effort. It requires effort and thoughtfulness and intentionality and discipline to enter God's rest. We're watching these Syrian refugees making these incredible acts of effort, yes? Risking their very lives in order to enter a place of peace and of rest out of a war-torn country. And not just that, but we can look all around us, and I wonder if that's part of the conversation, you guys, is to pay attention as we leave this building for those places in the world that we, every single human being, it is written into our DNA that they are, every person is worthy of rest, right? And to pay attention to where that isn't true. And to have your eyes open and maybe be willing to step into the mess a little bit and see what happens. To pay attention for that. But it can't just be that. We can't just be looking on the outlook for other people and out there, because here's the thing, I think it also has to start a whole lot closer to home. I think it has to start right inside. Because the very real danger is that we would mistake the tikkun olam, the mending of the world, with the work of our own hands, and it's not. The mending of the world is God's work in and through us. And it starts with our tattered hearts. It starts with the mending of our own lives. It starts with you and I entering into healthy rhythms of labor and rest. Did you notice the slight nuance in the text right there? It doesn't say make every effort to enter rest. It says make every effort to enter that rest. And what rest is that? It's God's Sabbath kind of rest. Because here's the thing, you guys. There is a difference between rest and distraction. And I think that is one of the biggest cultural lies that we are packaged and sold on a daily basis. Because distraction looks like this. It is all of the things that we are sold and that we take up in order to numb and to not feel and to avoid. That is different than God's kind of rest. And here's what numbing and distraction looks like for me. It means feeling stressed out at the end of a day and going home and turning on garbage TV and then laying in bed and flipping through my Facebook feed and then flipping through my Instagram feed until my eyes are so tired that they have to close, and then waking up in the morning and checking Facebook again. That's not rest. That's distraction, because something else is going on. And here's the thing, I'm not opposed. I am a sucker for good television shows with good character plots, and I love vegging out sometimes, right? And social media is not bad. The problem is when I'm trying to use it to do something that it cannot do. And so I've been trying to be a little more aware and asking the question before I enter into an activity, is this going to do what I'm asking for it to do? Am I avoiding something else by doing this right now? What's going on here? And so here is the other invitation that I would like to offer to you, okay? And it's an idea that I read about from Barbara Brown Taylor, and it's something you can do tonight, okay? Here's what she says. She says, get a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle. And on one side of the paper, write this question, and here's what it is. What gets in the way of rest in your life right now? And so for just one second, can you just throw out so we have some brainstorming going on so when you leave here and you do this, what are some of the things that get in the way of your life right now for rest? Busyness. Absolutely. Anybody else? Say what? Responsibilities. Yep. Annie, what'd you say? Caffeine. Oh, my word. Gets in the way of rest. Yep. Worry. Say that again. Expectations. Yep. Media. Yep. And here's the thing. When you sit down to do this exercise, be really honest, okay? Get detailed about it. Don't leave stuff out, because the reality is, you guys, that everything in life conspires against rest. Everything. It just does. And so don't avoid that. Name it when you sit there. But don't leave it at that, okay? Then consider this other question. Put this on the other side. What might Sabbath rest look like for you right now? And be honest about that, okay? Dream big. In an ideal world, if I could, this is what I would choose. And this shouldn't hurt, okay? These should be things, it should feel good when you enter into God's rest, okay? And if an entire day sounds like there is no way that that is going to happen, then start small. Maybe it means that you would take a long walk and just be aware. Maybe it means you'd go lay under a tree and just look up at the sky and realize that God's creation is way bigger than you are. Maybe it means that you would turn off your phone at a specific time of day. These are called focal practices, small little ones that you know you can do. And here's the thing, for Jewish society, Sabbath was an ingrained practice for an entire community of people, so it was a little easier. For us, this is a little bit of a more of a countercultural, harder thing to choose to do. And so you may have to find somebody. Like, I have a friend who is way better at this than I am. And so sometimes we'll go through seasons where we decide together to turn off our phones from 6 p.m. to 8 a.m. And so she will text me at like 5:55 and be like, I'm unplugging right now. You? I'm turning off my cell phone. What are you doing right now? Don't try and do this alone, okay? And then there's one last thing. Barbara Brown Taylor says to take this list and to hang it up somewhere where that you can see it often, okay? And then here's the final thing. When your heart longs for things that are on the side of Sabbath, don't shush it. Let's pray. God, you are the creator and the sustainer of all things, and in you all things hold together. And God, I confess before you right now that I often get that very backwards, that I think somehow that I am the one creating and that I am the one responsible for sustaining and I am the one responsible for holding things together. And God, that is your work. And so God, I pray for each one of us. We are not good at rest. Some of us are a little better than others, but all of us find ourselves in these broken patterns. And so, God, we need your grace. I pray especially for people in this building right now and in this room whose hearts are especially tattered and who need your mending, who need time with you, who need time away for their weary souls. And so, God, I pray for the grace to receive that well this week. And God, we also pray for those things that are so broken in our world, things that we can't fix. God, we pray for the Syrian refugees right now. Lord, hear our prayer. And God, we pray for broken relationships that are right around us right now. Lord, hear our prayer. And we pray for those people who we've been carrying all week on our hearts and our minds into this space tonight. Lord, hear our prayer. And God, we pray for all of us that we would be able to step out of this place, Jesus, and follow you in your rhythm a little bit better this week. God, we love you, and we pray these things in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This podcast is a part of Jacob's Well Church in Kansas City. Our website is jacobswellchurch.org. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/jacobswellkc. You can find us on Instagram at jacobswell. If you'd like to participate in our financial life, you can do that on our website and in the Jacob's Well mobile app, available in the Apple and Android app stores. May the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face to you and grant you his peace. Amen.